A very good morning to you, my dear listener. It's a Monday morning. I hope the very first day of the week. I hope you have a very restful and beautiful weekend and ready to, you know, to take on a new week. So it's only about 2 days left before we say goodbye to April. So the year slowly by slowly, it's moving on, and hopefully we're catching up. Hopefully we're catching up. Very good morning to you. And thanks for joining us this morning, the 28th of April, 2025. So, and if you're just joining us, you're most welcome. You are just tuning in Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshavelli. This is the show where we dive deep into the stories, event, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. Whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It is about you. Share your thought, opinion, and perspective on the topic that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. And as usual, on Monday, every Monday, around 7:15, we cross to Windhoek for FNB Namibia segment with my colleague HT from our studio in Windhoek. So around 8, we cross back again to me here in Ondangwa and get back to and continue as usual. So around 7:45, we will then we cross to Windhoek for the FNB Namibia segment. So stay tuned for that as well. So yeah, what on this day in Africa, what happened on this day in Africa? What happened? So on April 28th in 1994, South Africa concluded its first multiracial general election, making the end of apartheid and the beginning of a new democratic era. So the election, which began on April 26, saw millions of South Africans of all races casting their votes. So Nelson Mandela African National Congress emerged victorious, leading to Mandela's inauguration as the country's first black president on May the 10th in 1994. This historic event symbolizes a significant step towards reconciliation and nation building in South Africa. So now on April 28, 2002, the South African astronaut Mark Shuttleworth spoke with President Thabo Mbeki from space, marking a notable achievement for the continent in science and technology. So, and on April 28th, is recognized globally as the World Day of Safety and Health at Work. And in Africa, this day serves as a reminder of the importance of promoting safe, health, and decent working condition across the continent. It encourages government and employers and workers to engage in dialogue and implement measures that prevent occupational accidents and diseases. So, and our Monday, the thought for the day on Unpacking the Day. So our thought for the day is: a man with a full belly thinks no one is hungry. A man with a full belly thinks no one is angry. So they probably reflect a common human tendency to be unaware or dismissive of the struggle faced by others when one's own needs are met. So the Proverbs point out, the Proverb points to how individuals, once they achieve their own success or stability, can become complacent or self-centered, focusing only on their own comfort and not thinking about those still fighting for basic needs or opportunities. So in essence, this proverb actually calls attention to the tendency to be out of touch with the with realities of others when one's own circumstances are secured. So our thought of the day today: a man with a full belly thinks no one is hungry. And that goes to those people we have elected, that we put in the parliament, that they must not forget, you know, that where they're coming from. So, and yeah, when we come back, we will see, as I said, at 7:15, we cross to Windhoek and for FNB Nash, FNB Namibia segment. So stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo chikao shafaa sana nana longi shifaa ya ishiwike moshuwana iyo moya wo ota ingongo tisamweni anage shifaa ya Namibia omjo ombwa nawa onjika seitha nina omayaguro nirandito mwa iwe yonge shifaa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende tuimeneha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo iyo moe programa zetu Moambo, Lengera Selma, Kodara Heta Tuimu, Datundatu, Heari Hamano Tano, Oandiyaj, Eagle FM, so I.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onsea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
You are now tuned into the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia. A very good morning and welcome to the F&B segment right here. I will be facilitating this one and I'm Dafa Happy Juju. I'm joined in studio today by digitalization specialist Basuva Cornelius from F&B Namibia. Good morning.
Morning. Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me. We are back again with our sessions, F&B segment.
Indeed. Now, today's topic we are talking about?
We'll be talking about the OTP. So we're going to get more detail into FNB. We're going to get more detail into the OTP.
Okay. Now, Basuva, let's talk about OTP, as you say. What is OTP and what does it stand for?
Okay, so an OTP, it's a five-digit number. So the OTP stands for one-time PIN. And you asked a good question. What does it do? So the OTP, it can trigger a transaction from your account. So that transaction can be a withdrawal from your account. It can be a deposit into your account. And also it can be to confirm a transaction and also to link maybe a transaction or to confirm someone else. That's what is, why is important. That today we are also going to touch on it, because it's one of the one of the things that we have been saying. Clients shouldn't share their OTP because it's a very important number, a five-digit number, which can make sure that fraudsters can link your account and they can also withdraw money with it from your account.
So what exactly do FNB clients need to know about OTP?
So what they need to know, like I said, an OTP can trigger a transaction from your account, whether it's a withdrawal, whether it's a deposit. The reason we are saying we need to make sure that they understand that it's a very important number, and please, they shouldn't share it. And it's one of the things that we're sharing. Please do not share your password. Do not share your OTP, because it can link in an account. It can confirm a transaction. It can form, it can confirm a withdrawal from your account. So it's a very important number that it can trigger a transaction from your account. So that's why we are saying, please do not share your OTP. If someone calls you and say, please provide us with your OTP. No, no, no. That one, that person is not from FNB. FNB will never call you and say, please provide us with your OTP.
Okay. Now, Pasuva, give us more tips on how exactly clients can protect their OTP apart from just not sharing it. How can they be smart enough? Because I take it somebody might also be able to get it without even them actually knowing that they got it. Is that possible?
Not really possible. So how they get it? Let me just explain how that OTP is triggered. Like I said, the first thing that I said, the OTP can only be triggered by you as a client going to your account, and whether you're going to dial one of our dial strings and not knowing that you are maybe withdrawing, you are withdrawing from your account, or you are confirming a transaction, whether it's a deposit. So that's how the fraudsters get it. So that's why it's very important that they need to make sure that they shouldn't share it. They need to make sure that it's protected. They need to make sure that they don't give it to anyone.
Okay. Okay. And more on that as we come back from this short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Olio mnangeshefa no hara kushivifa oma akuro yo kupitira mohorike radio station yo Eagle FM. Enya mukuru olongaha. Ninge kwata fano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi kono rahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa kono rahita tu natu, bali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mwane oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And we are back. Like I said, we're talking about OTP with the FNB segment. This is the FNB segment. And I have in studio with me Pasuva Cornelius, who's a digital specialist. Now, when we're talking about OTP, of course, a lot of people, I take it when they're making their transactions, are we talking about in terms of e-wallet, in terms of online transactions as well? What exactly? We want to get those, you know, layman terms so we can actually understand and protect ourselves.
100%. Thank you. So like we said, it can be, yes, can trigger a withdrawal. That withdrawal can be an e-wallet withdrawal, and can also be an online transaction. So that's what I'm saying. When you log into your online banking and then you are doing a transaction, then it asks for an OTP. So that's what the fraudsters are targeting, that OTP. So it can be whether it's a dial string, one of our dial strings, whether it's an e-wallet, whether it's from your account, from your cell phone banking, and it can also be from also your banking app and or an online transaction. So that's why it's very important that the clients do not share it.
Yes. Okay. And now while we are still there, so in terms of you saying I shouldn't share my OTP, you mean even if I get a call and it sounds very promising and this person is telling me that, hey, they sound very, even the voice itself sounds very professional to say, we're calling you from FNB Namibia. You just been sent an OTP on your cell phone now. Can you kindly send it? We need to, something is not right in the system. You mean, are you trying to say that FNB will never do something like that?
FNB will never ever call you. FNB will never call you. And we are strictly saying it. FNB will never, never, ever call you and ask for your banking details. Your OTP, your password, especially that OTP, because today we are focusing more on to the OTP. So because I want our clients to understand that your OTP is very important. That's why we are saying, please do not share it. And FNB will never call you and ask for your OTP. And that's why we are saying, if they call you, If the fraudsters are calling you, please stop and report. So our contact center number, you can report at 061-299-2222. And also, because of the fraud now, we have also a fraud line that they can always call, 061-299-2999.
So the first one is 061-299.
061? It's 061?
Yes.
299-2222.
That's generally for
contact center number.
Contact center number. Okay. And then the fraudster number.
It's 061 2999.
Yes. I hope the clients actually got that.
Yes, please. That's what they need to call on those lines, or they can even, if you are nearest to the branch, you can always visit our branch. So that we need to make sure that our clients understand. And I just recently now concluded a few of our activations where we engage with our clients on Oshawarongo, Tsumep, and Grootfontein. The engagements were good. We can really see that a lot of clients, they say, oh, okay, they have been calling me for my OTP. They once called me and everything. So it was a good engagement, and we're giving them tips. And those tips, I need to mention the tips, please. We want our clients to make sure that they are very vigilant. Like you are saying, like you are saying now, someone will call you and you will be like, promising to think that the person is from FNB and ask for your OTP. FNB will never call you and ask for your OTP.
Okay.
It's one thing that we need to make sure that clients understand. And also, we are saying when you are out on a weekend, you are at a restaurant, please make sure that avoid making sure that you connect to public Wi-Fi and you log into your online banking or the banking app. So we want to make sure that our clients understand. And also, please, when you are with your friends and everything, please do not write your password somewhere so that someone can be able to see it. So that's one of the things that we really need to make sure that our clients understand it. Because you might write it in your little piece of paper, then you lose your bag and someone may have access to it. So that's why it's very important that you keep it secret. And also the password that you are using. If you are a dog lover, for example, and I know that you are my friend and your dog is Tiger, please don't say Tiger at 123 because someone can be able to guess it. Or my name being Basuva, and someone can even guess as Basuva at 123. So we want to make sure that the clients, the password that they are using, also they are a bit difficult. And for us, FNB, we have on our security features on the banking app, online banking, we have some biometric authentication where you can use your finger, you can use your face to open your banking app. It's one of the security features that we are putting on our channel so that we protect our clients. So the most important thing, we want to make sure that our clients, they shouldn't share their OTP. It's a very important number that shouldn't be shared.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, Basuva, when you talk about your password must be strong, what entails a strong password?
A strong password, it can entail a special characters, whether it's a question mark, whether it's an exclamation mark, and you include numbers, and you also include words. For example, we can say eagle@hashtag.com, and you know, rather than saying Basuva 123 because it's guessable. So we want to make sure that your password, it's a bit difficult. It needs to have some special characters. It needs to have some numbers. It needs some words. That's how you put on a very tough security on your password.
Okay, like for instance, hypothetically now, as you're still the eagle, with the E perhaps being a capital letter,
yes,
the rest being lowercase.
Lower E, 100%.
Oh, okay, yes. I see. And then maybe .com 25.
25, yes.
Something like that.
Something like that. So okay, they need to make sure that their password, they are not really guessable. Yes.
What are some of those things that you've picked up being, what are some of the reasons how people get triggered or how people get convinced to actually share their OTPR or not maybe themselves sharing it, but someone close to them actually getting access to it? What are some of those things that have become common?
I will say you'll never know when it will happen to you. And it happened to a lot of our clients. And so what I always say to them, please, the fraudsters are very tricky. So they will do a research about you. They will know where you are staying. They will know where you are schooling, where you are working. So they always have that information for you to believe that it might be someone from FNB. So they come with stories of knowing you that, okay, fine, you just did a shopping last week, where and everything. So it's something that they need to make sure that no, FNB will never, never call me. So if that person calls you, please card and report. So you stop that call and you report it. That's what we want them to do. And what I advise them, we don't want really, so the reason why I'm saying they should just stop that call and card, it's for them not to fall up
into victim. That.
Yes, because some, like we said, they are very convincing. Because
luring,
Yes, and that's what we want to do. Please, let's just stop and report. Mm-hmm. And you can call our contact center number, like I said.
Okay. Yes. Now, another question that I would want to ask is to say, is there specific behavior patterns that maybe show the fraudsters that this one has money in the bank account? Is there some behavior patterns that kind of like sell off us as clients maybe that kind of trigger like that? Because, I mean, it becomes a little bit worrisome to say, you know, how did they know that I have money?
Yes, it's a question that has been coming up. But what I will say mm-hmm. to most of the clients, when you have money, for example, you are out, you are swiping, you are doing what, and everyone can see and everything. It's something that we need to avoid. And we always say, please, let's avoid making sure that, for example, now let's take your card limits, you're swiping. So you remember you have card withdrawal at an ATM and also at a POS device. So we always make sure that our clients put those withdrawal limits a bit low so that even if they get access to your details, there won't be a lot of money lost into your account.
Mm-hmm.
So what I will advise to our clients is to make sure that they need to make sure that they protect themselves. Like I said, please be vigilant. FNB will never call you and ask for your OTP, your password and everything. So that's what I really want us to make sure our clients understand. FNB will never call you. And it's something that I need to make sure that clients are much aware that SFNB, their client security, it's top priority. And we are going to make sure we are going to fight this with them. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is for them to make sure that they need to know how to protect themselves. Please don't give your banking details to anyone. Mm-hmm. And FNB will be here coming onto a local radio station talking about fraud and making sure that you know how to protect yourself. And also going out there having activations on how to educate our clients who will be engaging.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we are really doing.
Mm. Okay. Now, kindly just repeat that fraud number should anything take place. I mean, so that the FNB client, I think it would be more advisable to say save the number in your phone just in case, like you've said earlier, you won't actually know when it actually happens. So kindly just repeat that number for us.
So let me just repeat the contact center number. It's 061-299-2222.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have our fraud line, 061-299-2999.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, what should the client have in place at that time while they make the call?
Any client who calls our contact center, we need to identify them. They are going to provide their IDs and we confirm them. They will do their verification and they will be able to get helped. So, and lastly, what I want to tell to our clients, please, we are here as FNB and we are really making sure that we are going to promise you that we are going to fight fraud. We are going to make sure that you are protected. What I can ask from our clients is to make sure that they don't share their banking details. And like I said, at FNB, client security is top priority.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to make sure that we fight fraud with them and we are not going to drive it aggressively so that they can understand that your OTP is very important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. And there you had it from Basuva Cornelius, who is a digitalist specialist at FNB, digital specialist at FNB Namibia, just educating you on how to keep your OTP safe. That is your one-time PIN, whether you're going to get it through e-wallet or online banking or any other transaction. So they're here to keep you vigilant. So be vigilant out there. Now, with that being said, we have come to the conclusion of today's FNB segment. To stay tuned again for it again on Monday, every Monday from 7:45. We're handing over the mic back to Michael Chiavelli as he continues to bring you Unpacking the Day. Goodbye. This has been the FNB segment, proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia. Catch the FNB segment every Monday from 7:45.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the
people. Listen to Eagle FM in Lodwitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Any person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not pick up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Very good morning to you. Welcome back. You know, we crossed to Windhoek, for the F&B segment, that come to us every Monday from 7:45 to 8:00. And thanks to Juju, and our guest from F&B. So we continue as usual with our, unpacking the day and, thanks for tuning in. And wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you. And that's right. So accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need is your phone and you are instantly connected to the news, to your favorite shows and so much more, features on our Eagle FM app. All you need to do, just download the Eagle FM mobile app. And you are good to go. And if you want to stay in the know with business, economic news and the latest policy development, you can grab your digital copy of the Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The Monday one is already out, and all you need to do is send a WhatsApp message, with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And if you are a business person, we are making it easier than ever to grow, your business. Our complimentary apps, the Imba and Eagle FM app, are perfect, for boosting your product and services to a wider range of customers. And don't forget our social media platforms. They are some of the most active in the country, giving you the perfect space to elevate your brand or product visibility. So contact us at 083-288-400. 083-288-400. So, and if you're joining us now, this is Eagle FM. So we will get back. Stay tuned. So we will get into our first item on Unpacking the Day. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekirwa kagona imatina omjo chikawa shafa sana na analongeshefa ya ushiwike moshiwana iyo moyawo
ota ingongo tithamweni. Ana jesefa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma iwe, yongesefa yoyo kupitira mo Igelefem Media House. Uwe tuende tuimeneha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo, lengira selma, konarahita tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oambiyaji. Igel FM, for us.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onsea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So, what the fraud? It's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to come.
Part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Yeah.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Even at all.
A very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, you are tuned in to Unpacking the Day. So imagine in Namibia where no student is left behind because of financial barriers. In Namibia where dreams of higher education are no longer stifled by tuition fees or the inability to afford registration. Last week, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah announced a groundbreaking policy. By 2026, students at public university and technical and vocation education centers will no longer have to pay tuition or registration fees. This decision has sparked both celebration and debate equally. On one hand, it promises a new era of accessibility and social upliftment. On the other, questions linger. Can Namibia afford such an ambitious move? How will it impact the quality of education, the role of private institutions, and the future of our already strained job market? Now, to help us unpack these critical issues, we are joined by Dr. Teresia Musanja, an esteemed public speaker, an author, and a lecturer at Namibia University of Science and Technology. So, good morning, Doctor, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mr. Mike, and thank you for having me.
So, as we reflect on this historic announcement, let's start with this. Is free tertiary education the game changer Namibia needs, or are we opening the door to new challenges we are maybe not yet prepared to face?
Beautiful question, beautiful interlude there. But first, let me maybe do a disclaimer.
Yeah.
As I am well introduced, so that I am a lecturer at NASP, the view that I am expressing in responding and engaging in this discussion are not that of NASP.
Yeah.
But that of my own as a person involved in the education. And as a Namibian citizen.
Exactly.
Mr. Mike, the question of free education being a game changer, and then the advent of a new era for those whose dreams were blurred because of their inability to enter tertiary education is very important, is exciting, as you all did in the introduction, and yet it's a little bit so unclear as to is it possible. Perhaps to begin with, I would like to say we are grateful to the government of the day.
Yeah.
For the past years, we have had a free basic education.
Yeah. Mm.
But until the beginning of this year, we had parents saying, we can't afford the books, we can't afford the stationaries, we can't afford this, we can't afford this. And if you go to school, you hear principals and accountants saying, the money is not yet here, until a few months into the academic year. And then this usually makes the school ask parents to contribute. It's not school fee anymore, but we still do contribute to school. With the name contribution, not school fee anymore. Now, the question of free tertiary education, I really applaud Memene Tumbo for a bold step towards the liberation of the youth who did well in their secondary school and cannot enter tertiary. But now, the question is, the announcement made in the sauna, I watched it over and over again because it's good news to the ear.
Yeah.
And as a critical thinker, I've been thinking, what now? Is there a plan? Is there an implementation plan in place to see to it that this can be done? Mr. Mike, we are in April, and if God wills, after tomorrow we are in May.
Yeah.
And the year is going fast past. My question is, are the institutions of higher learning informed?
Yeah.
Is the government collaborating with the ministry, the ministries of government, the institutions, are they already engaged in discussions to draw up a master plan as to how to get this realized? As it is now, the movement in Africa, everything is possible for us as long as we have actionable policies, not policies on paper, policies that are actionable. Every time we make announcements such as that, I would be pleased even more to hear that, but for this, we are going to do A, B, C. But an announcement like education will be free. Thank you.
Yeah.
And now what?
Yeah.
So it is expected from the Namibian populace that now that the president has made that beautiful announcement, that immediately in this, I think by today, by this week, as a country, we are waiting for the laid out plan as to how to do this so that it is a more convincing, move than just an announcement.
Yeah. I'm sensing from you that it's a very good, it's something I celebrated actually, and then I said, hold a minute. Yeah, no. All right. So it sounds too good to be true. Now, from what I'm sensing is that, from what you're saying is that, you know, as much as it's something that we are happy about, but we also have to be realistic about it. So, realistically, it sounds that it's too soon actually to implement it, or let me say, how realistic is the goal of implementing a free tertiary education across public institutions by 2026? It looks as if it's too soon, you know, and when you have to think in terms of logistics and the institution themselves, because it's a completely new way of doing something, isn't too soon maybe to implement? Are the universities and other centers ready for this?
I would still say too soon it is. If we were action oriented persons, if we were intentional implementers, we could do it, because what has happened in the past, and maybe that would speak to the change that our mother president made to the ministerial combinations, you know, combining the Ministry of Higher Education and Basic Education and all that. Perhaps this conversation will be a lot easier because the Minister of Higher Education will be able then to engage the university and all that. Now, to say we do it tomorrow, because 2026, like you said, is tomorrow. Without a clear action, I'm a researcher. When I have a topic that it's like, or the announcement, it's like a research topic.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is no proposal, a clear laid out plan as to how to do what is going to be done.
Mm.
It's all right. I also did the same. I celebrated and I said, come on, no, wait. We already have challenges. We wait for the money, for example, the money from the government coffers, you know, comes and you hear, no, the money is not yet there and so forth and so forth.
Yeah.
But now, what do we have in place to make sure by August the money for these students are already distributed into the university coffers? Because remember,
yeah,
university is more, is costlier than basic education.
Yeah.
If it happens that the money is not channeled on time, there is no conversation, there is no clear action plan, the chaos that can be created at the beginning of the year is immeasurable. But on the other hand, a child who is in the street, I think we should, we needed to give ourselves time too, because we needed to, in the action plan, it should stand out clear that who are the prioritized beneficiaries. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there are really kids who did well and they are in the streets, and because they can't, some dropped out, some, we deal with them.
Yeah.
And what is the priority? Do we want to pay for everyone and then, just bring everybody to school, or are we looking at first at the affordability and take out those that are really, really struggling?
Mm.
All in all, I am saying a clear plan of action is a must now before we blow the horns and really throw fireworks.
Okay. Let's go step by step. We're focusing a little bit. I want a little bit for your opinion. So what logistical challenges do you foresee in implementing this policy by 2026? You know, I'm just still think that there must be some challenges, especially logistical challenges, when it comes now to implementing this policy by next year already.
Thank you, Dr. Matt. Yeah. The logistical challenges that we may see.
Yeah.
First of all, the registration period for the students entering university.
Yeah.
Now, students register around January towards the end, February, and I've seen it in some institutions that they even go register until March.
Yeah, yeah.
So you when you have to give the money, because usually when they register, then they pay the fee.
Mm.
And now, when the government has to be the one that is funding these,
yeah,
at what, when does the government make sure that this is the amount that it should embark or distribute to UNAM, for example, or to VTC, Benduk, for example, or so?
Yeah.
This can be logistically challenging because sometimes the cut-off dates are not respected, but now maybe what used to be the challenge in the past, like when students can't register because they don't have registration, maybe
it's
going to be one thing of the past. But the challenge is, when is the government ready?
Yeah.
Do we have the budget ready for release so that by November, when these students start to apply, we can look, the admission committees can look and say, we can take in all of this because the money available allocated to NAFA or to UNAM, for example, is this. Are we ready for that? For me, that's a small logistical challenge that I see from the government side. But from the institution side, we are talking about making available education without touching anything on infrastructural development of this institution.
Yeah.
Many of these institutions are already struggling. They are teaching students either online or, you know, in very much over field classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we move from increasing accessibility when we do not make space? That's another question that we should speak about, and we're looking forward to clear it in the action plan that we are waiting for, because an announcement is just an announcement. Thank you, Madam President. But how are we going to realize this? Or maybe next year, I don't know. I'm really curious to hear and to see the action plan.
Yeah. Do you foresee any risk of over? Maybe let me start first of all overcrowding with anticipated increased enrollment. Do you think the quality maybe of education could be compromised due to the, first of all, strained of resources?
Overcrowding is unquestionably going to be experienced.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we will be taken to court, or maybe the government will be taken to court if you say, university is free and I meet the requirements and I have applied on time.
Yeah.
Why are you not taking me? And why are you taking this one?
Yeah.
Right. And then as it looks now, the infrastructure preparedness has not taken place. And therefore, yes, it is expected. Now the quality is another.
Yeah.
Right? The quality is another. We used to talk about massification, Mr. Mike. Massification is a process, or it's an education system where the education provider mainly are concerned about certifying the students and getting the funds from them.
Yeah, yeah.
Notwithstanding or not caring about the opportunities out there to assimilate these students when they are done.
Yeah.
That's why at times you even see students are registering for a degree in HIV and AIDS management.
Yeah.
And you ask yourself, right, Catholic AIDS Action, close. And what, where are they going to work? In the hospital, do we need HIV counselors? And so forth. So, one, the overcrowdedness of institutions that do not have capacity sufficient, one. Secondly, we will have students taught in overcrowded classrooms where the lecturers will not be able to attend to these students. And then we might have maybe the issue of part-timers and all that. And the whole challenge is huge then. It can be imagined. A workable action plan like I saw our young parliamentarian, Prof. Mpanda, who always give solutions like 1 + 1 = 2. Can't we see it?
Yeah.
You know? simplify it for us so that we can consume it with ease and not choking.
Yeah.
Like, okay, first we are going to do this, but how many public institutions do we have? We are going to do this, and we are looking at, you know, having this number of students assimilated by NAS. We are going to have this number of students assimilated by so that an ordinary person like me can easily appreciate it. But for now, such an announcement is like a vague, big, beautiful statement. Overcrowding, or then we get this online education, Mr. Mike. Maybe that's a topic for another day.
Yeah. So
where we believe we have reached the Industrial Revolution 0.5, and we believe that all our students, even from Hambo Danihale, even from Okongo, can access our education online. Hello.
Yeah.
that's another challenge.
Do you foresee any risk of overproducing graduate in a job market which already actually saturated with graduate? We have already people struggling actually finding the youth actually graduates actually finding unemployment. So do you foresee that this would also then increase? We will then have this risk of overproducing graduate. And that there are no job market available, you know?
It definitely, like Joshua Maponga would always say, we produce people who definitely, after they graduate, they can only respond to interview questions and not be innovative in any way.
Yeah.
The education that we give, unfortunately. And therefore, yes, as a lecturer, I always teach my students to focus more on their graduate attributes.
Yeah.
What are these little things that make you stand out? I always say, let's send all of them to school, Ms. Dorjavelli.
Yeah.
But then, I tell students there is a job for everyone. As long as you foreground yourself in terms of character, in terms of soft skills, in terms of hard working.
Yeah.
Most of our graduates are standing in the street corners because their work ethics perfectly. They don't want to work until 5 o'clock. They want to work until 4 and they knock off. They don't want to learn how to relate to people in their personal soft skills. They don't. And then you look at people saying, no, I don't have a job. And the other one is accepted, you know, in 3 jobs and they have a choice.
Mm.
It's because our universities should move from producing good counters to producing quality people who can be assimilated anywhere, who do not pass by people and look at them from head to toe, but who are humans who have attributes that people want to surround themselves with. So the fact is, there will always be an production of graduates out there because, like for Namibia, honestly, the job market is small.
Yeah.
But let me take you back a little bit to 2001, 2004, 2005, when the economy was not bad. Maybe another day we can talk about the economy, because when we say we want to give things freely, who is going to fund this?
Yeah.
Where are we going to get the money? Mm. Are we joining Burkina Faso and say we are owning our own minerals to fund our own? Or are we going to go to IMF and get more into debt and celebrate here that we are offering free education? All these questions in an Africa that is in an accelerated mode of moving towards self-sufficiency, all these questions are into our minds.
Yeah. So the whole of this policy, actually, the whole idea is actually contributing to reducing wealth and social inequality in Namibia. How can now this policy, in your opinion, contribute to that, reducing the wealth and social inequality in Namibia?
The social inequality in Namibia, Mr. Mai, excuse me, flu season, can be reduced, and I will continually say, by having intentional, tangible action plans.
Yeah.
As long as we are theoretical, we still tie that.
Yeah.
Theoretical. As long as we are imaginary, we just imagine and it's beautiful. But if we say, let's walk the talk, what are we going to do first? What are we going to do second? We will remain, we'll just go around ourselves, and then, as usual, we go and get ourselves more into debt from one side and thinking we are rescuing ourselves on the other. So the inequality here is the greedy. There is only, you know, a part of the society that is greedy and that is giving a lot to themselves. In normal circumstances, intentional governments have made changes immediately. We have seen in countries where when they entered presidency, there is no presidential jet. I'm not criticizing anyone.
Yeah.
There's no presidential jet. We go with the flight that is going. That reduction and that money can be channeled to the less fortunate. And then you see the ministers and the MPs, they will be paid an amount that will make them, you know, feel they are also contributing, and not to make sure that the S&T is heightened, you know, to benefit I don't know who. So when we don't have an intentional government that looks at the nitty-gritties of the needs of the ordinary citizenry, we can talk about closing the gaps that will never close. Until we realize that we need to be intentional, whoever is worried about how we do our things with that intention, we don't bother. But for now, we seem to be guided by somewhere, by someone, and we are unable to come up with tangible policies that speak to the need of our own people.
Yeah. Now, what would you, what are the key, I'm kind of thinking, how would you, maybe let me put it this, what are the key indicators now the government should now monitor to assess the success of this free tertiary education in Namibia? What are the key indicators that now, yes, these are the things that we need to look at to assess that the success of this free tertiary education in Namibia?
I will say something that the Namibians wouldn't like me for now.
Yeah.
I will say, let's push the implementation to 2027.
Yeah.
Number one. And then 2026, and even already from now, I wish Madam Tien Kamp is listening. from now, we look at the infrastructural development, be it physical infrastructure or online enabling infrastructure for these institutions that we are looking at. Mm. Let us lay out a clear plan to say, what plan do we have for NAS, for example? What plan do we have for UNAM, for example? Yeah. What plans do we have for our vocational training? And lay it down point blank on a white paper. Study that. First, infrastructure. Are we ready? Tick it off. Yes. First, what number do we have? How many classrooms do we have? How many students do not have access to internet, but they are still failing in this system? Mm. Because the system is filled with people who are failing because of their inability, maybe to come to campus, maybe to access online resources.
Yeah.
When we have this analysis, first, this analysis should be done in terms of infrastructure, in terms of student numbers, in terms of capacity. How many, how much can our university take? And maybe next year build a new university.
Yeah.
So that you are fair, so that you can provide equitable, free, quality education for all.
Yeah. Dr. Musanja, we go to the market and then you round up your thumb.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Need lightning fast internet? Rogers has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Rogers' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through a high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Rogers today. Visit us online at rogers.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Yeah, just your final words on what we have discussed so far, or anything that I haven't asked you that you think is more relevant for our listen to know. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Let me wrap up by saying, beautiful move from our president.
Yeah.
Let's begin by, if possible, I am no one to suggest this, but let's do the implementation a bit later and do a proper analysis. Focus on infrastructure development. Make sure that we have infrastructure sufficient to take in all the students, because we have, while we are waiting for new students, we have students that are waiting in the waiting line because they do not have funds. Let us be intentional in doing this. For example, distributed infrastructure development of our national universities, for example, and BTCs, should be, for example, funded by the fishery industry. They can. And then you say, the diamond industry, there were a lot of diamonds in that place when the story was going on. Sell them and make sure that, internet infrastructure is improved by what percent by the time we implement this.
Yeah.
And then the capacity, the teachers, the lecturers to teach these students, do we need more or are they enough? Can we afford them and so forth? Otherwise, beautiful move indeed, a hope for a new dawn for a Namibian youth, and as soon as we start planning for free education, let's industrialize our own resources, get them so that these students can be the ones that finish this product so that we grow our economy. Otherwise, we're speaking in circles, but this is a welcome move.
All right. Dr. Musanja, thank you for joining us this morning and also shedding light on this important groundbreaking, announcement by our president. And thank you for always making yourself available to talk to our listeners.
Thank you so much, Mr. Magan. Thank you to your listeners.
All right.
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekirwa kagona ii matina omoto.
Chikao shafaa sana naana nongi shafaa yae shiwike na shiwana. Iye moya o, ata yunga bota samoni. Anaga shafaa ya Namibia, ongi tombo na ya omjika. Seita nina umayaguro nirandi toma ye, yunga shafaa yae kutipiramo ikelefe media house.
Yeah, and if you're just joining us, good morning to you, and you are tuning in to Unpacking the Day. So we continue with our discussion on the announcement of, you know, the groundbreaking policy by our president, Dr. Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, that from 2026, student at public universities and technical and vocational education centers will no longer have to pay tuition and registration fee. Well, and also to help us unpacking this critical issue, I'm joined by Solomon Hay, senior economist and managing director of High Economic Intelligence. So good morning, Solomon, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike, and good morning to your listeners, and thank you for having me.
Now, as we reflect on this historic announcement, let's start with this. Is free tertiary education the game changer Namibia needs, or are we opening the door to new challenges we are not yet prepared to face?
Yeah, Mike, I think the spirit in which the announcement was made was obviously very well received.
Yeah.
But obviously, one must understand that the process of pronouncements until it gets to a policy position should follow research.
Right. Yeah.
Historically, you would have what you refer to as a green paper, right? So the green paper essentially is a consultative paper that you undertake by speaking to different stakeholders around what the possible outcomes that you want to achieve with a future policy position,
yeah.
Right?
Mm.
After you move to a white paper, which essentially now conclude the process of research, and then out of that you have the recommendations that would then inform what the policy position is with the different budgetary implications.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the reality is that if you look at the tertiary free education being pronounced, you must remember that the NASFAF allocation over the years did provide for a certain level of free education, if it were.
Yeah.
To the extent that, obviously, it was under the pretext that there's now a loan that you have to pay back after a certain period. So essentially, what we are saying now is that that loan falls away, right?
Yeah.
We had the free primary education that we had, right? What has been the learnings from that? What is it that we have brought through to understand what were the challenges? What have we learned?
And
how will we be able to manage the what we are trying to do with higher education now?
Yeah.
Now, if you think about this carefully, Mike, is that education outcomes has not been encouraging over the years.
Yeah.
Right? How does that link with this particular pronouncement? And you would have wanted to have this green paper and the white paper inform this particular position given where the current education outcomes are.
Yeah.
Mike, we did a study last year around education outcomes. If you have around 60,000-70,000 people or 70,000 young people starting grade one, right, you only get to an average of around 20,000 that actually sits for the grade 12 exam. So what that means is that you've got a huge number of those students falling through the cracks. They don't make it to grade 12,
yeah.
Right? So they don't even make it to tertiary education. So the question then is, what is the thinking behind this in respect of the education outcomes?
Yeah.
So, look, we do have challenges around income disparity, which means that you do have a huge number of students that actually, that eventually make it to university not being able to carry out or being able to meet the responsibility that come with tuition fees and what government has done in terms of moving towards unburdening those students.
Yeah.
It's commendable. But what are the implications? What informs this decision? What is the budgetary provision? Remember that we had the budget statement not so long ago, right? And remember, the budget statement is a budget that speaks to the medium-term expenditure framework, which is almost 3 years,
yeah.
Right? I did not see a provision for free education in that budget statement. So, obviously, there's a medium-term review that comes, I think, around September,
yeah.
October. So, most probably, you could see some provisions or some realignment with mandates around funding coming in there. But so the reality is that one to follow a structured process arrives at such a groundbreaking announcement that then can be managed in a manner that brings about the necessary education outcomes that you want to achieve as a country.
Yeah. The other thing, the government itself has estimated a need for, what I said, 5 billion annually to fund these initiatives. So what are your thoughts on feasibility of sustaining such a funding?
And this is my point.
Yeah.
One would have wanted to follow a process that informs how the funding of this 5 billion will come about.
Mm.
Even if it's the previous NASFAF allocation that would initially go to the students themselves as a refund, right?
Yeah.
It will now be paid directly to the students, to the universities, right?
Mm-hmm.
One would still have wanted to understand where are those provisions being funded and mm-hmm. where are they coming from? And you would have wanted to see how you link a particular funding decision to the education outcomes. Remember, Mike, our biggest chunk of the budget appropriation goes to education.
Yeah.
And yet we have not had the outcomes that we would have wanted to see in respect of building an economy through the education system.
Yeah.
There's simply not enough students that are math proficient coming through. Science, in terms of wanting to create an engineering ecosystem around a pre-industrialization economy, there's simply not enough throughput that's coming through.
Yeah.
So the funding decision that are pronounced as policy position needs to follow a methodological process that is informed and aligned with the educational outcomes.
Do you agree with the affirmative repositioning leader Job Mpanda's proposal for self-sustaining education fund? So would you agree with that?
Well, I didn't necessarily listen to Dr. Mpanda's input, but obviously what you want is whether it's self-sustaining or whether it's a long-term solution to education outcome, it must be structured.
Mm.
It must be structured in the manner that there's a process that informs how you arrive at a particular junction. But at the same time, you would also want to link that to the end objectives, which is educational outcomes.
Yeah.
Late graduates or transition graduates into employable, highly skilled individuals.
Mm.
You cannot have one without the other.
Yeah. The announcement, when you look at the announcement, when you, the beginning of the academic calendar of 2026 is only about months away. So how realistic is the goal of implementing free tertiary education across public institution by 2026? So what logical challenges do you foresee in implementing this policy by 2026?
And it leads me again back to my initial point in terms of such highly complex policy positions need to be informed by hardcore research.
Yeah.
For instance, again, I refer back to the primary education that was pronounced to be free. What has been the challenges there? I mean, I think the books, the stationery, and some of them, I think there was a sense that the parents were paying for this, right? And at the end of the day, what you have is then you are running into challenges that you would have foreseen had you done the investigation before you pronounce.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day,
Solomon, we break for commercial quickly, commercial up, and then we continue on this one. Yeah.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Mula when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, so yeah, you were concluding maybe a point. Yeah.
Yeah. So look, I mean, like I indicated that there is definitely an income disparity in terms of the majority perhaps standing unable to access education because of the cost associated with it. But the reality is also that this should be done within a process that aligned with the education outcome that we want to achieve as a country. So obviously if the education enrollment for the new year, for the new education year is just around the corner, how would that, what is the logical steps that will be followed to be able to make sure that the rollout is done?
Exactly.
And also from a funding perspective, is there a funding gap in relation to one, what NASFAP made available over the past 2 years in relation to the 5 billion? And if indeed there is a shortfall, where would the shortfall come from? And going forward, how do you sustain them? So don't get me wrong. The point is that one would really want to have these processes take a very structured and methodological thought in its rollout, as opposed to a pronouncement that obviously was nowhere in the budget statement. I don't know, in my reading of the SWAPO implementation plan, came as a consequence of the election campaign. And I might have missed that, but I didn't see free education as part of that implementation plan.
Yeah, I have read through. I haven't seen that as well.
So what you ideally look at is that party policy tend to guide the state, you know. So if you don't find it there, you don't find it in the budget, right? But you find it in the zone.
Yeah. So the other thing is the, with anticipated now, people would, with free education, definitely we anticipated an increase in enrollment. Do you think, there are people who think that the quality of education could be compromised due to, you know, strained resources. Do you concur?
Well, I don't know whether we will have a bigger influx, right, of students into tertiary education, because the element of cost is no longer there. Because remember my initial point where I say that very few actually make it to varsity, right? The majority of the employed in the Namibian economy, and it's not nice numbers, this is fast NSA's numbers, is that the majority of the employed in the Namibian economy are grade 10 and grade 12, right? So they don't actually make it to varsity. So the issue around the qualitative component of the education outcome as a consequence of there not being free, of there becoming a free tertiary education, I can't speak on that with authority, because there are certain countries that have actually have walked the journey and they've been able to produce high quality graduates, right?
Yeah.
So the idea is that if you are still able to attract quality lecturers, quality professors, you are still able to produce quality research outputs out of the university, I don't necessarily see how that could compromise the quality of the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that this should not be a process that gets undertaken haphazard. It should be structured and methodological to be able to know exactly how then, one, you maintain the high quality outcomes, or how you further alleviate the quality of education outcome, irrespective of what the cost structures look like.
Yeah. So what do you think this policy have, what impact would it have on private university and technical centers in Namibia?
Mike, you keep referring to this as a policy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a policy, it's a pronouncement.
Yeah, it's in a pronouncement, yeah. Mm.
Yes. So what this pronouncement obviously now needs to follow, perhaps, the implications thereof. Remember that there was a conversation around Air Namibia. We have not seen or sort of unpacked whether what's going to happen in respect of Air Namibia.
Yeah.
There was an announcement around the new SOE that will become the custodian of all states' assets. Right? Again, there's not been further plans around what that will look like.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
There were also pronouncements around some of the realignment of the ministries, right? And the creation of what we now know as the super ministries, right?
Yeah.
Again, one would have wanted to see what happened to the respective directorates. How are they gonna move, right? What we have seen is that you have now new EDs that are carrying mandates, and others do not have the mandates.
Yeah.
Now, linked to that is, in the absence of a proper unpacking of the rollout plan, it makes it extremely difficult for us as analysts on the outside to actually see how this will play itself out, right? So at this stage, really, we are following further pronouncement. We would want to see what the detail looks like. We would want to see how the funding flow will work, especially in relation to the pronouncement that NASFAF also becomes a directorate. It moves back into the ministry.
It's a mystery, yeah. Mm.
So, sorry, it's a bit of a chicken and egg from our end, is really wanting to understand how will this play itself out in the implementation rollout.
Yeah. So, do you think that this pronouncement contribute to reducing the wealth and social inequality in Namibia?
Yes. Look, I think it really goes towards bridging the gap in terms of, so if myself, Salomo from Okonjatu, attain the necessary points to be able to get into university, right? What it does it gives me an entry into the university because I've got the required points and I do not necessarily have a funding challenge.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
What it further does, Mike, and which is, in my view, perhaps the biggest benefit to everyone that will be part of the system, is that as soon as you finish your tertiary education and you get into the job market,
mm.
right, you are able, you don't have loan application, right? Because the majority of students that had the NSFAF loan, if it were,
yeah.
from, had to repay back. So they start their work with a deficit of maybe around 10 or 15,000 that you have to pay back over the years,
yeah.
right? And that obviously puts you at a back foot. Now, if you are able to complete varsity and you are able to land a job, it means that you can essentially almost take off immediately without any deficit or debt obligation.
Mm.
So from that aspect, it definitely bridged the gap from an income disparity perspective, and it creates an upward mobility in terms of income levels for new entrants into the market in relation to those that enter the job market with the loan hanging over their heads.
Yeah. Mm. And what mechanism would you, I think, would you suggest to now to monitor the effectiveness of this pronouncement and ensure it achieves actually its intended goals?
So, I don't know whether we have put the cart in front of the donkey, but one would have wanted to see the policy position in terms of the objectives and how this aligns with the education outcomes that we want to see as a country, given where we are, right? So the idea is you would have wanted to read the green paper.
Mm.
You would have wanted to make critical input towards the green paper that will then inform the white paper as we arrive at the policy position, as we start doing the monitoring and evaluation of the fallout of this groundbreaking announcement or groundbreaking policy intervention.
Yeah.
You would have wanted to see what data did we use to arrive at this, right? Remember that the Namibia Statistics Agency will be carrying out the National Household Income and Expenditure Survey, which essentially look at household incomes.
Yeah.
Right? So that would have given us a much clearer picture in terms of which gap are we closing, how are we moving the needle, and what is the outcome that we would want to see. So at this stage, we can all speculate in terms of what if, what will, and how. So it's really an intervention that we need to follow and follow very closely.
Yeah. This pronouncement also make Namibia join countries like Germany, I think, Norway, think of, what is the other one, Finland, in offering a free tertiary education. Maybe what lesson Namibian maybe can learn from this country to ensure the success of this initiative?
Yeah. So, you know that Norway is one of the success stories around even industries like oil.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
Norway was very clear in terms of what it wanted to achieve with its industry.
Yeah.
If you look at the current risk sharing mechanism between Norway and the private sector in relation to the oil, is that the Norwegians are very clear in terms of the beneficiation towards the country.
Yeah.
Right? They don't float around with the issue of 10% here or 10% there.
Mm.
They've made it very clear in terms of what it is that they want to achieve with their oil, and they have achieved it, right? They were then able to build perhaps the world's biggest sovereign wealth fund for the oil industry, right? And through that, you are then able to roll out some of these other social initiatives that leads to the outcomes of free education, if in a way.
Yeah.
So, again, those are the lessons that one can draw from the successes of some of these countries. Now, in our instance, we have not sort of put the policy position on the oil and gas sector to understand what beneficiates Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
Again, remember that there were pronouncements that the oil does not belong to us,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so many others. The window of the development around the explorations are moving so quick, right? The local content policy that's being mooted,
yeah,
is obviously, I don't know whether it's now been put forward in its final form as a local content policy, whether that becomes law, and what it means for the beneficiation component of the Namibian people, and through that you would have the successes that they enjoy with perhaps the journey on the road that countries like Norway,
yeah,
as well. So all I'm saying, Mike, is that, again, this pronouncement should then have followed these policy positions to say, look, Namibia is also in the process of establishing a sovereign wealth fund, which will then draw its appropriations from the oil and gas industry,
mm-hmm,
because state intend to own this amount of revenue or part of the risk-sharing mechanism when the multinationals is of this nature, and through that we'll then be able to beneficiate through this means. So definitely there are lessons to be learned from the success,
yeah,
of the rollout of free education for some of these countries, but it should again follow the structured and methodological approach that would then inform the outcome.
Yeah, and probably that's lead to my final questions in terms of what would be key indicators for the government to monitor and assess the success of this free tertiary education in Namibia.
One, in my view, again, is to really make sure that these interventions follow the current, or rather, latch on or become a response to the to the low education outcomes, mm-hmm, that we have, right? So you would want to see what kind of graduates are we getting through,
yeah,
the system?
Mm-hmm.
Getting through the system. A lot of social scientists. I'm not saying this. I'm not a social scientist at all. What is the number of graduates in the engineering areas that are coming through,
mm,
right? Because remember that now, with the discovery of oil and gas, there's going to be a lot of activity on the as for the students, maybe 30% of the students, the first subsidy they give is for them to utilize for their operation or whatever, everything. The second part of the government which is paying for is the tuition fee, the studies for the student who apply to the government, same government, you get what I mean?
Mm.
Now, same government, it's like I've fed you, it's like, let me say, you give your child money to go to school,
mm,
and then they say, no, there's this maybe examination fee that is required. Again, you as a parent, you will pay it. Then somebody come and claim you that, no, it's not you who paid for the money. So you cannot afford to finance this kid.
Yeah.
Will it make sense?
What's your point?
My point is, government subsidized must.
Yeah.
The self-government takes the money to pay the loan for the students, which they call loan. Mm. Government.
Yeah.
Yes. Where did the money come from? That went to NASP.
From the government. Yeah.
So if the same government says, I am going to give you free education, so I don't want you, I don't want to give a loan to this child, poor child, that I indebted this child when they are still young. I don't want to indebt them, to put them into debt. Eh?
Mm.
I'll pay for everything in terms of the way I give you, because when I give you the subsidy as NASP, I don't claim you to pay me back. So I'm going to do the same thing to the same child, to another person. That you, this Namibian child, is going to come to your school. I'm going to send that money, which I normally pay him as. Is it getting on?
Yeah.
Then you give me change. No, I don't need that change now. Whatever I send is coming to facilitate the education. If the small changes are supposed to go to other students, can also still finance other 5 or 10 to 20. Don't you think it's a good idea?
Yeah.
So do you think that, now people say it's too ambitious, but the same money is coming from the same government.
When you look at this, just for you, think about this. I'm just putting to you, if with a free education, when it was not free the way it is now, and when it becomes free, is there any difference in terms of, is there any difference at all, whether in terms of logistic, whether in terms of funding, whether in terms of, do you think there's any difference at all, or is,
it's
or
just it doesn't, the name change.
It has not any difference. It doesn't make any difference.
It's the name change. We're just changing the name from credit card to debit card. it's a debit card, eh? And then when you use whatever, you might call it a check account, and then the other person will call it a debit card. You get in mind?
Yeah.
The functionality is the same. Change the name. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's only the name you are changing. Now, the other person was claiming that they are going to integrate NASFAF to government the way it used to be before.
Mm.
The only problem which we have here, let us agree to disagree.
Yeah.
We have got some of us, you see, this is the thing what the Europeans said to us. You are better than the other. And that's why other people are using, they are still using that concept, but in a disguised form.
Yeah.
Is it? Because if a lecturer who was funded by the same system, which is government, he owned government maybe, eh? Then when you start working for your first pay, or before you start working, you owe government.
Mm.
He was complaining. I was complaining. Government, you saw, at one point, may he so rest in peace, Dr. Abraham Yambo.
Yeah.
He paid for our studies, for all the loans that were accumulated by, ask NASP if I'm lying. Where the government, they never paid, we never paid back that money to government. Government went, I owed politics by that time. Then when the Minister of Education by that time came in, he paid all the institutions where the students were owing. So what is it not that possible?
No.
We are saying, look, everybody said, no, I thought it was a good idea, but then he said, oh, wait, let me give it a break. Let me think. I said, no.
Nobody says it's not possible. They're just highlighting some challenges that could come as a consequences of that.
But remember, do not believe on the impossibles, believe in the possibles. How did Europe manage to steal our minerals? And you still, up to now, we still formalize thinking, we have got informal and deformal, whatever, I don't care how you call it. But the fact of the matter is, we are looking at, if you understand mathematics, the central government have been paying for these things before. The only problem we are going to face is challenges. Private institutions, now they are realizing that very soon they will start getting out of business. Because including those who are rich, even those ones, they will take their kids to public institutions. Because now, if the point is, if the Minister of Education is told, you can't take your child to University of South Africa, wherever, in South Africa, Your child must be educated to the institution you are teaching. What does that mean? It means that institution is going to improve. The services will improve because the minister's child also is going to be part of that. The minister himself or herself should be part of that. If it's a hospital, the minister and everybody, including all ministers, will be part of that. Parliamentarian will be part of that. What does that mean? We are going to take care of it. Is that so?
Yeah.
If we take care of it, what it means? It means that somebody, people stop going to them. Remember, I've used this word before.
Mm.
We have got two systems of governance. The private governance and the public. And we always say, public, private is the best. Why? Who pays the money into that private? It's us. The same money, look, if I'm going to a private doctor,
yeah,
on my medical aid as I'm talking to you, I pay $12,700. A month,
yeah,
and I don't use that one. That's 12,700. You can come and check a month.
Mm.
Who uses that money? Assuming that all Namibians, let's say Nampower, Telecom, City of Windhoek, most of these institutions would have taken that same money, and as long as we have got, we put it in government and it's managed properly.
Yeah.
Do you think that
that's the point? No, that's the point. Managing properly. I mean, the critic or other people are saying, yes,
corrupt the systems.
Are we doing this sustainably, or if we jump into it without really prepared, you know, we might find ourselves with a good idea that would have actually, you know, helped to develop the country, but then along the way we might not be able to sustain it because we not properly think about it. So those are some other people who
I like the thinking.
There's a commercial quickly, and then we can finish later. Yeah.
All right.
Statistics show that more than 12,000 road accidents were recorded in Namibia last year. Therefore, I believe zero is the only acceptable number of accidents on our roads this Easter. It is not impossible. Be responsible, do the right thing, and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
All right, just round up your point here.
Yeah, rounding me up. I like their thinking. The way people, it's opinion.
Yeah.
Fine. For 35 years, people have been thinking. When there's something you have to be implemented, that's when again they want to start thinking. Can you ask that same lecturer, what ideas did they present to government for free education? Because you cannot just come to me when I'm now doing something I want to do. Then you say, no, it's not possible. We need time. And I listen to her. She never gave you a proper or a tangible that you can say, okay, this is what she's proposing. She is just saying, shift the date to 2027. She's not saying, by shifting the date now, let me tell you one thing. This is possible. All what we need to do, government must start now. That's why parliament is there. Let's look at social responsibility. Every company have got a mandate to do social responsibility, including Polytech and university, including every institution we are using. We have all the social responsibility mandate. So that social responsibility must be gazetted, and it should be paid to a certain coffer to advance the social responsibility, which is sports and other stuff.
Yeah.
Ministry of Labor, we have got what we call social security for all of us. Eh? If that money is invested and we take out some of this money from the profits, we can still fund certain things. You get what I mean? Free education is possible. Free healthcare is possible.
It is possible. Everybody says it's possible.
Yes. No. Look at it. I'm telling you where you can get the money.
Hmm.
I'm not just saying, but I'm saying where you should get them. I'm giving you a solution. I'm not just complaining that it's not possible. I'm saying it's possible and the solution where you can get the money. This is, social responsibility is a must. Everybody knows that. Even a small business, they know. They have got the social responsibility towards the society, the community they serve. Because they are supporting them, they will substitute to pay, in a way, as humans, you should plow back what you got from others to say thank you. Is that so?
Yeah.
So that thank you can be gazetted. Secondly, government can also still make money. Let's say, for example, we agree that, let's say all of us agree that the medical aid in this country, the way they are paying, companies must be accountable. So we pay that portion to government. We go to, what is that, PAMSA or whatever, the one for government. If all of us were there, that one cheaper, everybody says it's cheaper, but they also get the same service like those who are paying more. So we go to that point, we say, okay, 50% what we used to pay, we pay to this coffer. It's a solution I'm trying to present. Then that money will be used into the healthy, because we are not going to continue maintaining it, because government buys medicine. This will not be treated by people that TB treatment is not treated by any private hospital, neither any private.
But do you realize then that when you're taking money somewhere else, you leave a hole in there? Let's say, for example, like what the president have said, you know, my old people, my parents, just wait. You know, there was supposed to be an increase for the old people, but that money has now been taken maybe to go to the youth. So what happened to the old people? So there is a hole there. You understand?
No. Look, what you are presenting is not what I'm presenting. I'm saying government currently does not collect social responsibility from companies and institutions. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the money the government is going to collect. I'm not talking about the old people.
Yeah, no, just an example of saying. Yeah.
No, you gave me an example. That's why I'm trying to say. The solution I'm giving you is the money that is lying somewhere. It's not just collected. If it's collected, that money will be utilized properly and put in the good news. Rick, now, secondly, the other money I'm talking about is the medical aid. People pay medical aid they don't use. Equally, if we would have taken that money and put it into the private, into the public hospital, where your parents, my brother, my sister, who is not having medical, who is not working, can go there and get the good service like I get.
Yeah.
The only problem we have is I want to be better than the other person.
Mm.
And that's what the president is trying to avoid. We are too few to be poor.
Yes.
Understand that concept.
All right.
Yes. So the other, those things can be managed, and the president is not corrupt, and the president is emphasizing on corruption, but people are not listening.
Yeah.
See, people are not listening. The president says corruption should be treated as treason.
Mm.
We should go to Article 100. That I'm going to do. I heard she made the proposal, which if you want to make a proposal, what you should do.
Yeah.
What you should do, yes.
All right.
No. That article, otherwise lawfully owned, that part must be removed.
Yeah.
Such that the government owns everything. And 50%, before you come into business with us, government must own 50%.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you. Government
must pass that. So the money is there.
Mm.
People must not be, you see, we have got people who work for the agent. What about Burkina Faso? How long did Burkina Faso, Traore came into power? What have you done?
Yeah.
Can you compare what Traore have done so far with any state in Africa? Any democratically elected state. Point one, that is better than Burkina Faso now.
Yeah. All right.
The man works for the people.
Let's
other people, they work for others. So if our president says he was going to work for the people of a country, the people who chose her, why shouldn't we support him?
Okay. Let's see if we can give another one a chance.
Possible. Must be revisited the way she's saying it.
All right.
You see, it's possible. There's nothing impossible. It's not those who have been benefiting from this dubious ways of, because it's a private school, so I've got shares there. How do you expect that a grade one?
All right.
Paying 40,000 per annum.
Mm.
Come on.
No.
Let us be serious. Let's go back to our senses. We are human beings. Thank you, man.
All right. Thank you for coming through and for your contribution. Eh? All right. So, he's throw the phone in my ear, you know. a very good morning to you, and welcome to Unpack Your Day.
Yes, Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I can't stop there, brother. I don't want to let you go.
I'm trying to say, look, there are only a few minutes. Let's give others a chance as well, but, you know.
That's the metal, you know. You know, Mike, man?
Yeah.
For me, him to doubt the lecture, I don't think it's necessary. Because she says she's speaking on her own opinion.
Yeah.
Let us respect her for one another opinion.
Yeah.
Even the lecture was
said, you know, this is a very good idea, but she was only talking in terms of maybe it's too soon to implement. Can we not do it year after? Yeah, you know, in 2027, because she's talking about the registration. It's only a few months before we go into the academic year of 2026.
Uh-huh.
And she also talking about the bottleneck that comes with paying the money to universities and things like that. So, and he said to sort that out, it requires a lot of things to do, you know? Yeah.
Exactly. You see, the thing is that when you look, Mike, you remember the other time we were celebrating, you said, I'm going to do a master's. I said, like, no, I'm really giving my module, which is behind, I'm going there.
Yeah.
Because it's a free education. Mm. And now, you know, the disappointment also when I'm checking even the Namibian of today, Namibian.
Yeah.
Newspaper. Is that they are never even communicate with a university. Either UNAM or NAS.
Yeah.
It will already give you that, you know, sometimes at this, selling the dream.
Mm.
And we have this for the past 5 years. Okay, I know this will already say selling the dream.
Yeah.
But sometimes at this lip service, I'm telling you, it's already causing the problem. Because it's like, you are fooling the Namibian already like a device venue, but you are putting petrol on it.
Mm.
Because you need to go to have a proper research for you to come with a policy of addressing the free education at the university level. Because I'm telling you, the left is right. When I'm looking at the things which I need to be done, because I'm a former nurse. I'm telling you, my friend, we went through a lot.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm talking about the module which I'm having behind.
Yeah. Well, what does it help? Look here. What does it help? You start something in 2 or 3 years, you can't keep it. You can't sustain
it. Exactly. Yeah,
so,
that's the thing. The in the long run, you have to stop again.
Yeah.
It's like you are start doing something, you try.
Yeah. Solomon, like the previous analyst, he said, look, this is not something that the SWAP has been talking in a campaign. They never mention about a free university in there.
Exactly.
And then when the budget actually comes, also never actually speaks about, never actually cater for a free university. It's like it's coming from nowhere. And then
we have a free education.
Yeah. So as Namibian, we just said it's actually something that many of us have been asking for years and years, but we also have to say, look, but it has to be done properly, you know, it has to be thought through and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Michael, when I'm looking at this free education, we understand maybe, because, you know, you never know. Now the mind is on the any control.
Yeah.
It can be done, but serious research is supposed to be done, a proper research, when it comes to this issue, to implement it.
Yeah.
Because where I'm looking at, my friend, we have already, like, you know, lecture doing, like, we don't, even like, let them say NAST, which I know, they don't have enough lecture. You go there, the lecturers who's doing the morning, is the one who come to afternoon classes also.
Yeah.
In the evening, which really is to become like it, because these guys tell them that they just feel no online, and then later on they will tell you because of what you guys just maybe we set up for assignment so we can do the assignment, but actually work it never been done.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I'm doing instructor for VTC level,
Then when we went for practical, after we come from practical, we never done anything. Just imagine, but you're having a module like a 4 module.
Yeah.
We never done nothing. From there, you are expected to go to write the examination.
Yeah. So the other thing is not just mass production of graduates, because then you still create, you still have to, you know, you still have actually graduate, then you, let's say for example, mass producing of graduates, and you still haven't created a job market, you know.
You know the funny thing, when I'm telling them I'm an instructor, the thing is that our education doesn't speak with what is happening in the industry.
Yeah.
And that's the issue with you, I think. Because, my friend, you need that Walenge and the others who are already in the business to tell you what is happening in current affairs when it comes to business.
Yeah.
But our education we set up without the proper understanding what's going on in the industry or in the economy.
Mm.
That's why we're having up now, the way people are talking about green hydrogen, but vocation, there's nothing happening like that.
Like the university, they seem to be shocked. I mean, when you ask any people from university, lecturers and also they were not consulted.
it's what I'm telling you. Yeah. You see now.
They were not consulted.
The president come to the conclusion to have a free education if you didn't proper, even, I mean, talk to the people who are leveraging the authority.
Yeah.
It's an issue. And these things are really, if somebody making a decision on behalf of others, where you find yourself in the situation where you cannot get out.
Yeah.
It's a problem. These things are supposed to be done from university level first, then if recommendation can be done, the president can announce it.
Yeah.
But anyway, we are looking forward because some of us, we are happy.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah,
it's a great announcement. It's a groundbreaking announcement. One we are proud to have for that. But we also that we are being realistic as well in terms of to say, look, that there's a lot of us as Salomo, and you must also mention it now. There's a lot of research that is needed so that it become more comprehensive. It's not just that let's focus on education, but then in terms of employment, we do nothing. So you must producing this graduate, but you haven't actually done anything in creating opportunity for the people that you are producing. So there's a bigger picture, a broader a spectrum that you have to look at. Yeah.
Very much, it's very welcome, brother. But anyway, we are looking forward,
yeah.
And I hope this is going to be implemented the way she think about it. I mean, she posted that come next year, everybody, you are not even going to pay the registration and whatever, you are going to start for free.
Going back to school, my friend.
me and my friend, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's a good thing, anyway. The person who said it is the one in charge.
Yeah.
And they know exactly where we are going to get the fund.
All right.
Let us hope that everything will come through.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, my brother.
Thanks for coming through.
Sure.
All right. Well, this announcement represents a bold step forward. It is also a leap into uncharted, as they said, uncharted territory. We've never been there, but we can learn from those who have done that before. So the free tertiary education has the potential to transform lives, but only if implemented with a foresight, collaboration, and accountability. So the government, private sector, all Namibian must work together to ensure this vision, it doesn't falter under its own weight. So, as always, it's always been a pleasure being in your company. And we have actually come to the end of unpacking the day today. So please stay tuned for the rest of the programs that are coming your way. Coming up right now is Mind the Gap with Helm.